Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
Hello, and welcome to Super Gaming Best Friends, the newest podcast of the HorribleNight.com family of podcasts. I am your host, Josh Lee of JoshLee.com fame, and we're here to discuss the games that we are currently playing. Super Game Best Friends is the terrible, probably, idea of Justin Lacey.
Blaming me.
The editor-in-chief of HorribleNight.com, who is joining us tonight. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm doing well, and since I didn't really realize until just now we have a family of podcasts, does that make you the daddy?
Oh, man. That makes you the daddy. We're your children.
But
I hope you're proud of us.
I'm also kind of freaking out right now because this is the first like non-hosting duty I've done on a podcast because I've handed over the reins to our new show, to Josh Lee, and so if I just like start talking a bunch and start telling people
hosting.
What to do.
And he's hosting.
Okay.
He's
hosting. Damn it.
Yeah, there you do. I gotta say, your seat is while it's warm, we have different sized butt cheeks.
This is accurate.
Yeah, because my I'm fitting in grooves that are a little bit far forward. I'm not sure what that means about size and shape, but
neither of us have as good of butt cheeks as Nathan Drake.
Oh no, yeah.
That's just according to your girlfriend.
You know, yeah, she does like every time Nathan Drake's butt comes on the screen when I'm playing Uncharted. She reacts to that.
You haven't seen my butt.
Anyways,
Drake's derriere.
So, and you also hear there one super recording artist, Ethan Emo Moses. How's it going, Ethan?
Emo.
It's like J Lo. It's the E period and then M O.
What about Etmo? I don't want people to think that I wear skinny jeans. Wouldn't fit into them.
I think that's even better because they're just gonna assume you're a douchebag.
Etmo is here to talk about video games and things revolving around my best friends that also play video games.
We are kind of super gaming best friends, except we don't play games together quite that often. We talk about them more than we actually play.
That'd be a much longer title.
I watch people play video games. I watched Brandon play video games last night online. It was neat.
Was that on Twitch TV?
On Twitch TV.
On Twitch TV. Twitch.tv/HorribleNight.
Yeah.
So,
as a matter of fact, yes. We're all on the same page. It's good.
Did you witness any rocket enemas?
No, I didn't. I suggested that he jump off the top of a castle to attack a dragon. But he didn't. He didn't do that. He didn't take that advice, which is fine. It's fine.
What game would both have rocket enemas and rain of fire dragon kill moments?
I don't know. I think maybe we're talking about two different games here.
I think so.
I think they need to make a rain of fire.
Yeah. and there you hear the voice of one Aaron McNeil, writer for Horrible Night. Yes, hello. This is your first time on one of our podcasts.
First time on any podcast.
Whoa! Oh my God.
Like a virgin.
Oh.
Podcasting for the very first time.
Glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Talk about games, become super best friends.
Yeah, we don't all always see each other in person, all the staff from the site. Some of us telecommute. And Aaron, you're one of those guys that we cross paths in chat or on Twitter, and read your stuff, which is awesome on the site all the time. But this is the first time I've actually spoken to you in person, even like offline. So this is pretty cool.
Yes.
I think
first time talking to you, Justin, Ethan, but I've heard all your voices before, so it's kind of creepy.
Although before we started the show here, you did say that you don't listen to the Horrible Show. Is this true?
Not religiously, no.
Yeah, that's all right. So moving on. No, no. So how you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready to go. I've got some drink next to me in case my mouth gets dry. I'm talking about games.
What kind of drink is that?
It's just an old Hawaiian punch old, I had sitting around.
Bro, like the how old of a profession does that come
He's
from?
He's podcasting.
I thought he was drinking like a podcaster.
Yeah, I'm.
Oh.
Well, I've got some beer I can go get.
go get it. Yeah, you have to drink
Hold
beer.
On, let's get the beer.
That's how old we pro. All became best friends.
Old pro means hooker, you guys. I'm not sure if you knew that.
Oh, education.
He yeah, makes all these references that he assumes we know, and no one gets it, and he just looks like the ass. I love it.
Oh, I knew what he was talking about.
Oh, I promise people listening to this right now know exactly what an old pro is.
Now they do.
It's the world's oldest profession.
I doubt that. I doubt that.
I think
really?
Of Lee, I think of Lee Trevino when you say old pro.
Oh, my Trevino. God. That, oh, that's terrible. Poor Lee Trevino. Now I'm picturing him like a ye old time, like brothel lady.
I was just trying to
imagine Madame golf, Madame Trevino
golf demographic.
Did you guys ever watch the Golf Channel?
Yeah, sometimes.
No.
Do they bring on like the old pro guys? They bring like Arnold Palmer and Lee Trevino.
Lee Jack Trevino's Nicholas? Got his own show on the Golf Channel.
He oh well there you go that's
I'm insightful. That up,
God damn it.
The Trevine. The Trevine. Trevine talks golf. Yeah, man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Good show.
Okay. So, all right. So, on tonight's show, we're going to first, we're going to start off with our on the spot question. Then we'll jump into the games that we're currently playing. And then we'll talk about some horriblenight.com site updates. And at the end of the show, we'll do the threesomes of the week holdover from. The old horrible show days.
So long ago.
So, yeah. From so last week. All right. So, okay. So our on-the-spot question this week comes from Kristen. You can find her on Twitter at @increaseblue. And her question is the PS Vita a day one purchase or a wait 6 months purchase?
Is anybody else on the fence with this one like me?
Maybe a third option.
I don't believe that anybody that there's going to be no one on the site that buys a Vita.
I really like the Vita's launch lineup, but like there's so many questions about the memory card issues and how expensive those are going to be, and then just my interest in handhelds in general. I still
you're
don't see.
You're gonna get it anyway.
Actually, it's not a you're gonna get it anyway. It's if anybody gets it, it's probably gonna be me. But Cole gave in to the 3DS and he's talked about the Vita. So
he won't buy a Vita. Since he just after buying 3DS, he's not gonna turn around and buy a new one.
Dude, he bought that in like he made that decision in like a week out of the blue after being as against it as you guys were.
But he's a Nintendo guy. He's a Nintendo guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. And Justin, you, both you and I actually were talking about 3DS when the Zelda Special Edition was coming out around the holidays with the it was black with the Triforce on it.
I would buy a Legend of Zelda PS Vita.
There you go.
Well, so would I.
I could probably convince my girlfriend to get one if it had Nathan Drake's ass on the back of the thing.
If it was on the back.
Oh, on the touch pads.
Yeah, where you touch.
Sorry, I stole that one from you.
Special cheek edition.
Yeah.
Aaron, did you own a PSP?
Yes, I did, unfortunately.
I say that in past tense because surely no one actually knows where their PSP is now or has already sold it or trashed it.
What does a happy PSP owner look like?
Someone who hasn't actually put a game in yet.
Oh. Someone who has sold it.
Do we have a rim shot sound clip?
You're claiming that the PSP is better without games in it? It's just oh, I got it. Look at this. I opened the box, and then as soon as the game put in, the value just decreases right there. You just get disappointed.
Yes.
What was so bad about it? I don't get it. I mean, I hate it. I have no reason to. Just because I'm supposed to, I think. But what was so bad about the PSP?
I'll take this one. the games were bad. That was overpriced. UMD sucked. When they brought out the PSP Go, they almost immediately stopped supporting it. you couldn't take your old games with you to the new handheld. Let's see, the battery life was terrible. The screen wasn't all that hot in the beginning or the last one, but the second one was okay. The memory cards were too expensive.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, the online sucked.
Man, huh. Think if we let you put a list together ahead of time, how long that would have been.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so what, to answer the question, day one purchase, probably not.
Allie, yeah, if anything, I'm the closest one on the fence here, and I'm a wait 6 months guy.
It's $300. I mean,
yeah, but
and the price, you know, I will say this: I think we were all bitching about the prices of the memory cards,
yeah,
beforehand, because those originally were announced at being at stupid price points. You know, you spend an extra $100 on memory, when you could have spent $20 in the same amount of space with an SD card, and so the prices, though, that were officially announced recently were actually much cheaper. So it wasn't quite as bad. But that's going to be the big hurdle for me. It sounds interesting. Everyone that's been hands-on has said that it's actually pretty nice. Did any of you guys actually get hands-on with this thing anywhere?
No.
Okay.
I've not seen it in the wild.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, but yeah, and people say, hey, it's a great little device, and it does have a somewhat compelling launch lineup. But what are you guys excited for any of the games, like regardless of whether or not
it's good.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how they pull that off and if that's worth playing on a handheld. That was actually one of their downloadable games that looked interesting. I forget the name of it, but and then even Little Big Planet, I thought for some reason that was really appealing to me as a handheld game for some reason.
Yeah.
But they had it.
Yeah, no, I'm really not interested. I'm just trying to find a way to stick in a Ricky Martin joke somewhere during this conversation that we're having, but I'm going to opt out of that at this point.
It's too late now. If you actually put something and you've already announced that you were trying, that's...
Live the Vita.
Yeah, live in the... Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
There's a Touch My Katamari game. That's fun to say that I own.
I will not do that. Not live. Podcast.
Behind closed doors.
You know, the Katamari game, it seems like a good fit for that, for the handheld, you know, to me. I think they had PSP as well, but yeah, but I'm sure you're going to have to move your hands around the back of that thing to roll the ball, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to roll it along, you're going to have to pull it with your fingers.
That might look
more
weird.
Than likely. Sounds like it.
Yeah, don't do it while it's in your lap.
Yeah. I just feel like a lot of people are going to get in trouble with the police while playing this out in public. You know, like a lot of like older guys, probably you two, you know, won't be able to play this around schools or, you know, at Showbiz Pizza. So, yeah, I'm just a little bit worried.
Do they still have Showbiz Pizza?
I think it's Chuck E. Cheese now.
It's all Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, they got bought. Yeah. Showbiz had the band, the animatronic band.
I think Chuck E. Cheese does too.
Well, okay, maybe so. But the guy that created
it's been there recently.
Yeah,
you mean Foghat? Isn't that what the band's name was? Foghat?
Jesus. But I saw a video online of the guy who made the animatronic band and programmed them, and he still has them. He still has that band and his little animatronics workshop, and he still programs them and does like new stuff with them. They has him singing and performing new songs. And he brings people in, I guess, for like birthday parties into his place.
Wow. Yeah, I would not go into his place for a birthday party. It seems like a death sentence. Hey, come on in. I've got these robotic animals. They're going to sing some Bieber songs for you. That sounds sad.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound appealing to me at all. I do like Chuck E. Cheese. The pizza, not the atmosphere. The pizza. I swear to God.
How do they possibly have good pizza in there?
It's horrible. Sugar. It's like sweaty pizza. Sweaty. You gotta wipe it down before you eat it.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It is.
So, okay. So I guess that answers
doesn't
that.
Answer your question.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kristen.
No, I mean, I think it looks like we all want to wait, but it could be an impulse buy from maybe Justin or somebody else.
I'm sure I'll spread the disease once I get it. So.
Yeah.
But actually, no, I was looking it up while you're talking about Chuck E. Cheese. The actual game I'm excited for and a lot of people have been talking about is Sound Shapes, which is by the developer of Everyday Shooter, which is one of my favorite little indie games from a few years back. But That's the one that's kind of had my attention. And it's, maybe it's the Lumines of the PlayStation Vita.
Yeah, Lumines was good on the original PSP, so games like that work.
Yes.
Yeah, you got. But do you really need to? Do you want to spend $300+ to have that experience?
Not at all.
That's the problem. So, okay, well, yeah. Thanks, Kristen, for the question. Anybody else that would like to throw us some questions? You can email us at ask@horriblenight.com, and your question could be featured on a future show. So, see, moving on, we're going to talk about the games that we're playing right now. We have a pretty wide range of tastes around here, so these are usually you're going to get some stuff that maybe you guys are playing right now, and hopefully you get some stuff that you haven't even heard of, especially when Ethan gets into his like absolutely ridiculous Flash game obsessions.
Plus, he lies all the time.
Oh, I do not. I don't lie that often.
You lie like 3 times a show.
Well...
Have you ever lied? Have you ever lied about one of the games that you're playing? Like you just like
I have. I would never
saw
do that.
A picture
I will
of it
lie,
and you just made up details about that. It.
How dare you say that?
Like
to
you
me.
Saw a screenshot, and so you just made some assumptions about the gameplay, and then told us about it.
No, I've never done that. I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that to you
Skyrim
guys.
Skyrim is a great shooter.
All right. So, all right, Ethan, what are you actually playing?
Oh, you're going to call on me after you just, you know, ran me through the bus or put me underneath the bus or whatever that saying, however that's supposed to go.
See, you don't even know what that means. I don't
I'm an alien.
It's like a weird fitness challenge. I'm picturing a coach just running kids up and down the bus.
We're underneath the bus? That'll tough you up.
Punch out.
Yeah. Okay. What am I playing? What am I not playing? That should be the question. That'd be a horrible question, actually. The first game I'm going to talk about is relatively random, as Josh already kind of talked about. But Demolition Inc. is a demolition-themed game by the developer Zero Scale, actually a developer in Berlin. That's in Germany, for those of you who have not traveled outside of the United States. And if you didn't know from the title, yes, it is a game about demolition, but you're an alien who has come down to kind of demolish Earth so that, you know, the environment can come back, you know, can benefit from that. So buildings are in the way, you knock the buildings down and trees grow. It's enlightening. It's kind of like eco-terrorism, which makes me feel good about it. Though the spaceship that you travel around in as this alien probably pollutes quite a bit. I'm assuming it just looks that way because it's hovering above everything. But yeah, it's pretty fun. You just knock buildings down and you use all these different tools to basically you just find ways to get cars and trucks that are on the street off the street and into buildings. That's basically the whole goal of the game is you put oil spots down and they just slide off the road and run into things and cause explosions and then trees grow after that. I mean, I sound like a crazy person.
Yeah, well, that's normal. So what genre is this? How does it play?
Can you actually describe the game for us so we understand what you're talking about?
I don't know.
You don't know. You have actually played this.
I have.
You read the synopsis. Son of a bitch.
I think we should cancel this new podcast.
You just ruined my show.
Oh my gosh. No, you know, and when I put this one down, I kind of thought, oh, these guys are going to do their usual. This sounds like a crazy game and I'm going to have trouble, you know, describing it and I'm going to sound like an idiot, which I've done. So congratulations, you win. You did it.
The screenshots look like Blast Corps. Is it anything like that?
Think about it like Blast Corps, but with more puzzle elements. I mean, you really have to tie these little tools together to get, again, vehicles from the road into buildings. So, again, you'll put a oil slick down, and then it'll run into that and run into a building.
You don't actually control the vehicles. You're like
No. You're just manipulating the environment, if you will, to, again, get the vehicles from the road into buildings. That's basically it. That's probably what the game should have been called.
So you're like the Grim Reaper from Final Destination.
yes.
Which would be a good strategy title.
If you were no completely mistakes. Constrained to only using cars to kill things, then yes, that would be a good comparison. But no, I like the puzzle elements of it. I like the destruction, obviously. It was kind of a fun little game that I picked up probably months ago for a tiny amount of money on Steam, and it's kept my attention, which is saying a lot about a game because most don't. So
sounds like a really complex version of Angry Birds. You have not sold. You know what?
That's actually not too far off of a comparison, to be quite honest with you. You'd have to play it. You know what, guys? Come on over to my place. I'll make Tang and Rice Krispie treats, and we'll play this game together. We'll crowd around my computer. It's only one player. I apologize.
If that's what it takes, they really need to work on their distribution model of this game.
Or they one just copy. Need to, I'm clearly not a spokesperson.
Is this shareware on a floppy disk?
Yeah.
I have a more important question, which is, how old is that Tang?
I spotted, actually.
Man, that question just sounded really terrible. Out of context, that would be terrible.
I don't recommend that
hey,
podcast.
Hey, it doesn't matter how old it is.
How old is that Tang? Oh my gosh.
As long as it still works.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, derailed. God.
I think I derailed it just by talking about that. I think we were off right then. So it's a fun game. Can I just say, I don't want anyone to get the impression that it's not a fun game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I will do a better job of finding a way to describe it because it's a unique game. It is unique, you know? I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Can't play Modern Warfare 3 all day long. Sorry, guys. Sorry about that.
Listen, bro. You don't know what's up.
You alienated the indie crowd by failing to describe the game, and then you alienated the dude bros. So
dude bros is not PC. We shouldn't use that term.
It's not.
Because the people that are actually dude bros will get offended. Dude bro. So, all right, moving on. Justin, what are you playing, man?
I have a game. Since we last actually had a discussion around this, I've been playing Star Wars The Old Republic. And Josh and I actually had an extensive conversation about that, and I know Ethan is excited to talk about MMOs in general right now. But really, I just wanted to kind of talk through what I've been through since Josh convinced me to play the game. Josh and I's conversation on our other podcast kind of focused on treating The Old Republic as a single-player BioWare RPG. That was kind of the hook that got me in there, because the class quests in The Old Republic are really, really well done. And then when I discovered that your characters also get NPC companions to run around with, so you kind of have your own group, but you're still playing by yourself, I was like, I could play this like a single-player game, because Josh Lee's never online to play with, so I gotta keep going. So I've gotten through about 18 levels of my character, and from what I can tell, there are two or three major story arcs to your character, and I'm getting towards the end of the first one, and it's been really, really interesting. I'm playing, begrudgingly playing on the Republic side, but I have counteracted that by making a very evil smuggler that is all about the women and all about the money, and that's it. And so I've been having a lot of fun with him, but as it started, the story started to wind down, and I don't really have the urge to pick it back up and follow the next storyline. So after going to, I think I'm on my second planet full of quests, and I've kind of got my secondary skills and picked my, each class can kind of go, that has two, what's the best word, Josh? Two versions of that class.
Good guy, bad guy.
No, it's just like
what are you getting at?
Chocolate Oreo cookie, vanilla Oreo cookie.
Jobs.
No, there's like the DPS version of your class and like the healing version of your class.
You talk your specialty class, advanced class?
Yes, thank you.
Advanced class.
Yeah, anyway. Each class has advanced classes that you
choose. You were searching for like a kind of a generic term there.
Yeah,
that was a pretty open kind of question.
Sorry, anyway. So I've done all that and kind of set my character in motion, and I'm just starting to experience the MMO fatigue. As good as the story is, the tasks and the amount of time it takes to do things and hand in quests, and it's it's gotten kind of slow moving. I enjoy it when I'm in it, but every play session that I jump into with the game is I need at least an hour or two to dedicate to the game each time I play. And sometimes I just want to play for 15 or 20 minutes because that's all I've got. And I can't really accomplish anything in that time. So I've noticed I've been playing less and less.
Now
you sound really excited about this game.
Yeah. Okay, Justin, now based on what we originally the conversation you and I had, you know, came from just like the beta and then like the first, you know, 10, 12 levels or something like that of the release version of the game. The pacing was different than it is now, isn't it?
Yeah, like, a little bit.
Like that's what I found is like the game, it starts out and you kind of jump from quest to quest. You don't have to do a lot of like running around between things. And if you can just get right to the meat of the game, mm-hmm. Like your main class quests and the flashpoints and that kind of stuff. And that first flashpoint, which is like their, public quests or their instance things.
It's their multiplayer instances that your friends need to be online to play with to do them.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't, well, shut up. God damn it. Jabbed. Yeah, but those things you don't really want to play solo. So, but they're really well done, and they're quests that may go for a half hour, an hour, I guess, depending on how quickly you go through them, and those are really fun. And then that first one they throw at you early on is like really fantastic. And then so you get I was just super pumped about this game. Every time I want to log back in and play some more. That's how I feel after every session. And then as I got kind of halfway through Coruscant.
Yeah,
I started to feel like like you said, the MMO-ness kind of started creeping in.
That's exactly where I am.
yeah. It just I'm like, okay, get on to the next. Like they'll set up a great. I just finished like one of my main class quests, and I just did something cool, and then I get my main contact says, hey, you gotta get here fast. There's something terrible is going down, and I have to run halfway across, this planet to get to this dude so he could then play a little holo recording to tell me to go all the way back to the other end again. So, and then it's like, okay, that was kind of crappy, but hey, I really want to see this through. There's one of my buddies in trouble, that kind of thing. So, so I'm going to go head off into this, this direction to get this new quest. And sometimes the map is kind of vague. Like your area map.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I get to this new area and I thought I was kind of about done with Coruscant at this point. And I go and I get into this new area and then the map like shows this. Yeah. It's you're at the very top of the screen and the entire rest of the screen is filled with map. That's like Fog of War. And there's like my little waypoint is all the way at the bottom of the screen. I'm like, oh my God, I got a lot of walking through here to do. And then like, they're introducing all these other shitty fetch quests on the side and stuff. And I'm like, I just like ignore that stuff. I just want to do the main quest. But like, I got to level up more because I'm getting my ass kicked if I don't do those things. That's when, I've two, maybe three times now, I've logged in, thought, I'm going to just pound through this stuff and just get to that next main quest. And I have not done so. I've quit out of frustration like the last three times I've played.
And like, it's not that I hate the game or I think it's bad. Like, I think it's great. But it's like I'm literally at a point where I feel I could stop now and kind of be clear of this. Like, I've got to understand what the game is and have enjoyed my time with it. Or I have to go all in because I can't, like I said, I can't play for just 30 minutes at a time. So I haven't canceled my account. I haven't done anything like that. I'm still on my free 1 month trial or whatever at this point, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go forward. We actually had another guy from our site jump in, this week. So if I have a couple people to play with, I still feel like I could play through February or March, but it's just, there needs to be another draw for me at this point than just the really good, well done, Old Republic story, which is great, but I'm just going through the motions to get through that stuff. So,
yeah, I feel like that I was misled in a way from those early levels, just that I could just kind of play it as that, as KOTOR 3 and No, I don't want to play a million side quests in order to get to the good
it's
stuff.
It's just there's 50 levels of that. Like, it's just...
They have to stretch it out. They're trying to get your monthly... You know, right. They want the monthly fee. It's like, hey, it's $15 a month. They don't want you to just chew right through the story. I mean, that's the thing. It's about money at the end of the day. So that's why a lot of the design decisions are in there, I think.
Yeah.
What you guys should do is do a checkpoint on this.
I'm going to stab you. All right. You have anything else to add for the Old Republic? Like, I'm really depressed now.
I feel like our audience at least understands the game we were talking about, so there's that.
So is the Old Republic worth it?
I didn't gather anything from it. It sounds like not.
I've gotten 20 to 30 hours of game time out of it for my $60. I haven't started paying a subscription fee yet, and it's been, like, I kind of look at it as, you know, Knights of the Old Republic 2.5 was what I've played, and... In that regard, absolutely.
Okay.
So, I mean, I still play it for a couple weeks. Like, if you're buying any other RPG and you really look at how long you're going to play it, if you can find a way to get your $60 worth, I feel like I have. So.
Yeah, and I have friends that are really into the game right now, and they play pretty regularly, and they blew past me pretty quickly. And not that that's like a bad thing. Every time I'm on and they're on, they always offer to come and help me out. But I always feel guilty. Like, no, you're just going to come down and see all the stuff you've already seen. There's no challenge. Helping me not suck.
But. I had 3 heavy weeks into the game, and I was happy with my time. It's just the MMO-ness ended up adding up, and, you know, that's going to happen. So
that makes sense.
Just kind of reporting back, basically.
Yeah. So, okay, well... Aaron, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a mixture of things, but the main 2 things here are Battlefield 3 with the Rocket Enemas and The Witcher 2, which I have had since it released back in May, and never really started playing it until they got it to patch 2.0, I believe, which made it awesome and more playable, more accessible, I should say.
It's still hard as hell.
It's still hard, and they put a tutorial in there, which taught me stuff I had figured out in the maybe 3 or so hours I put into it before, but now I have a better understanding of why I suck. But I have now reached maybe level 11 or 12, and I'm feeling like I can do things. I can kill bugs and drowners.
Okay,
I'm a real witcher.
All right, I'm really embarrassed that I haven't played The Witcher. I play the first one a little bit, but I don't have any experience with 2, and I'm a big PC guy, so this was like PC's darling of 2011. So, like, just explain, like, what, like, compare this to, say, you know, like a Dragon Age or something like that, as far as other PC RPGs, you know.
Well, I play a little bit of Dragon Age, and I know Dragon Age has you can pause time and kind of set up your party, but in The Witcher 2, you pretty much just control Geralt, the Witcher himself, and it's just really hardcore. You've got to take potions to make yourself better, kind of make your stamina regenerate faster, make your sword attacks hit harder, and it's just a lot of unforgiving elements. You would think in most other games you can go up against, like in Dragon Age, you can go up against 3 or 4 enemies at once, and you've got a guy next to you, and you're like, oh, this is no thing, I can just kill these guys and move on, do this, you know, dungeon. But The Witcher 2, it's pretty much like you against the world. Every now and then you get like a buddy who might cast spells and stuff like that, but I get overrun by 5 people that I feel like in another game I would have just killed them all in one hit. And so it's kind of like a weird disconnect. You're the Witcher, you think you're a great guy, and if you play through the first game, I mean, you do a lot of cool shit, if I can curse. You could do a lot of cool shit, and then just... You go into The Witcher 2 and it kind of feels like you're starting over again, but not to put the game down a lot, it's really good. You just have to get over that initial hump, and once you start gaining levels, getting abilities, counterattacking, it gets really cool and compelling, and the story is, like, you have like a really good effect on the story. You can change what happens. Does this person follow you? Do they go somewhere else? I'm not too far into it to like even spoil it, but I'm really liking what's happening there, and it's just that initial couple of hours that might scare people away.
Is all the combat in real time, or does it have like a I mean, you guys should control the guy. You're clicking a button to swing the sword, right?
Yeah, you're using the keyboard or controller to, you know, move the Witcher around. You have to click to swing. You have to click to do a heavier swing. You have to cast your spells. There is kind of a way to slow time down, and there's kind of this rotary menu where you can choose between your magic attacks, where you can kind of cast like a force spell, which kind of stuns people or set them on fire. And so you can kind of maybe use that time kind of lapsing or that bit of slow time to figure out a way out of a sticky situation, but it's really unforgiving, and these enemies are out to kill you really hard.
Does it still have the fighting styles that the first one had, in the sense that you had kind of an attack for a fighting style that for combating multiple guys, or one for, you know, someone that's like a bigger, stronger guy? Because I remember that was what kind of got me. That was a point in the original Witcher that kind of took me out of the fight, essentially, is that I was kind of like confused as to when I was supposed to use those, and it was sometimes tough to switch between them.
Yeah, they've dropped that completely. It's pretty much, you've got a sword, and it's good for hitting everything, and there's no style to any of that. And I understand what you're saying, and that got really repetitive in the first game, but here it's pretty much just about, you need to kill these things that want to kill you, and that's about it.
Well, the game looks absolutely amazing. I you know, with The Witcher, I got into it, like, really heavy one day, and then it just kind of fell off the face of the planet. You know, I just couldn't keep myself focused on it. And I think that, you know, the potions was one aspect of it too, and all the things that you could pick up, and the things that you could create. I kind of got lost with it. But I think it's classically kind of has that, because it's a European RPG, and they tend to be a little bit more complicated than I think some of our Western RPG game experience would allow us to kind of comprehend that kind of stuff. You know, I think it's just a little bit different, a little bit more complex than my tiny, tiny brain can wrap up, you know.
Very tiny.
Yeah, America kind of prides itself on streamlining things and making it, you know, easy. Anyone can pick up and play this, but CD Projekt Red, the developers of The Witcher, kind of, they want you to work for your kills and your progress, and so it's easy to complain, this is hard, or this is kind of frustrating, but when you do overcome those obstacles, you get a greater sense of accomplishment than, say, like, getting through a Call of Duty moment, not to put that game down again, but it's just a lot harder.
Yeah.
You like hard games, because I also know that you are one of the other guys on the site that picked up Dark Souls. So how does the level of difficulty... Dark Souls is hard in its own way, and how does that compare to the difficulty in The Witcher 2? Like, how are they different?
I feel like the difference between The Witcher 2 and Dark Souls is that in Dark Souls, there's a lot less hand-holding, and The Witcher 2 started out that way, but The Witcher 2 maybe has more systems in place, the potion making, crafting things. It's not all about, oh, you can just go to a merchant, he'll sell you bombs and potions. You have to make these yourself, which means a lot of flower picking and digging through the guts of enemies you kill to get their eyeballs.
There's been a lot of games lately with, like, really hardcore heroes that have to pick flowers. Dragonborn, John Marston. That's what Marston. I was coming back to.
Wait, you picked flowers in that game?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
And now,
but you also cut a bear open, so you kill a Bigfoot. So he does a lot of manly things on the side, but every now and then you gotta get a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, which is, you know, but we have to, as men, we can't just kill all day long. We have to get flowers and
Ethan stands in support of this game feature.
Next time you go to cut open an animal, and just remind yourself that you should be picking flowers instead.
You need to be decorating your house.
Yeah.
Do you find the story and the character of The Witcher easy to follow and get into?
Yeah, it's very easy, but there's a little bit of backstory where they kind of think, hey, this person probably played The Witcher. And I mean, being a PC title, at the time it is, I know it's going to be on the 360 soon, but being a PC title, they kind of expect, oh, this audience will have played the first game before they played this game. There's been enough time for it too. But yeah, the story is pretty easy to follow for me, having played all the way through the first one. But I had to force myself through the first one just so I felt good about playing the second one and not just having a huge backlog of hard games.
So this is a pretty long game too, right? Like how far into it?
It's like ridiculously long, it feels. I've been playing for maybe double-digit hours now, maybe 10, 11, and I know at one point it flashed Chapter 1, and I have never seen it flash Chapter 2.
Oh, wow.
So unless there are two chapters in this game.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to trying it out at some point this year. Probably grab it on like GOG.com where you can get it DRM free, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And there's been enough sales, especially in the past few months, so it'll probably drop down again. People should definitely pick it up.
Yeah, that's only like, is that $40 or $50 normally?
It was $50 around the time I bought it. I got it for $30, but it might be around $30 or $40 now.
It goes on random sales, and I miss them because I actually, during our Game of the Year discussions, I like was just racked with guilt for not playing this game. And
as you should have been.
Like every few months or every year or whatever it is, I always make kind of one of those guilt purchases in that I just wanted to say I bought that game in 2011 and give CD Projekt my money and being like, you know, you guys did well. Even though I have no idea when I'm going to play that game.
I will play The Witcher 2 in 2012, the year of our Lord and Savior, John Cusack. Absolutely, it will happen. I'm calling it now. It'll happen. All right, take away my PC gaming card. So, so speaking of picking flowers, I played some Skyrim this past weekend. Skyrim is my sit down for 4 hours for a session game. So I finally got one of those, and picking that back up after you haven't played for a little bit is actually pretty decent because you always have like 5 million things to do, and the quest log's pretty good. So I kind of jumped right back into it. It was nice and easy. So I'm running around like I think like, oh, I'm gonna continue the main quest this time because I think it's been 3 play sessions since I actually did like a main quest thing. There's so much cool stuff to do on the side. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to this city, and I got to go to Solitude. It's like a city kind of in the north. It's like up on like on a cliff, like an overhang thing. What would you call that thing? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like
a precipice?
Ooh. Sure, a precipice. Mm. I don't know what that – okay, sure. I got to take your word for it, but you probably made that up.
That's a real word.
I did.
I just don't know if you used it correctly.
Right.
I don't know either.
Okay, yeah, it's like a cliff. It's like, but it juts out from the side of this mountain.
Oh, a jutting cliff. You're talking about a jutting cliff.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks. So I go and I'm approaching this thing, and I see, I'm like, oh god, how the hell do I get up there? So I'm like looking for a way to get up, and I end up spending the next couple of hours doing other stuff. So I quit. Like, oh cool, there's like a half sunken ship, and I go in there, and there's like a whole crew to kill and all kinds of loot and then like, oh, what's this little tower over here? There's like NPC in it and there's a little quest and I just end up, I never actually got to the city. And like, this is why Skyrim was my game of the year, because at never any point, unlike say an MMO, I didn't feel like I had to do those things on the side in order to gain experience or whatever. Or even loot. It's like I was genuinely compelled to see, to explore and uncover a mystery of like, what is that? There's got to be a story behind that thing. It's there for a reason. Let me go check it out. And then there was, and that's the magic of Skyrim to me is that I can just get lost, and still have fun. And it's never tedious. Like the travel's never really tedious. You can fast travel at any time when you want to do that, but I don't want to do that. I just, because even if I'm like walking between two places I've been before, take just a little bit different path, and then there's, oh, here's a cave I didn't know was there, or there's a dragon, you know, that kind of thing. And
oh shit, a dragon.
Oh, it's a dragon. Look at that.
No, I was gonna say that's actually, it's the strength of Skyrim. It's the strength of Bethesda RPGs. But coming from someone that it took a lot of effort and a lot of tries for me to get into these games, that's also what's intimidating about it. The openness, and then the openness can be very overwhelming. And that's why I never really fully grasped it with Oblivion, didn't like the setting, and didn't like that once I was out in the world, it was kind of my choice. And I was like, I just kind of froze from too many choices. And then Fallout took me 3 different 6-hour sessions to get it. Fallout 3. And it, but once it clicks, it's beautiful. It's an amazing, revelation. And Skyrim does it better than, obviously does it better than, the previous games. But I've been trying to figure out like how to help people kind of over that hump. And, I'm not sure what did it for me.
Well, I don't think there's a big hump in Skyrim.
No, I would agree. There's, you pretty much can just get into it.
I understand what Justin's saying on it is if you are going into a game like Skyrim, I mean, there is a lot of distraction, and if you're of the mindset that you want to finish a game, you know, you're trying to accomplish a task that's kind of pushing you toward the conclusion of a story, then yeah, I mean, Skyrim's really difficult. What I've learned to do, and the thing with Skyrim too, is that it does a lot better job of leading you in the direction of possible new quests and possible new characters when within the context of other quests that you're already doing. So it's no longer like maybe sometimes in Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas where there was just something just sitting out in the middle of nowhere, and the only time you'd ever go up there is if you were just kind of goofing around. I mean, Skyrim introduces you to a lot along a quest path. But what I've made myself do with quest on that game is I just have to finish them. I have to finish them until I get to a point where I can't do it anymore, whether I'm not high enough level. I keep going with it. I don't even check the quest screen, you know, and I don't even talk to anybody, you know, like an NPC be like, "Hey, Ethan, come over here." I'm like, "No, I'm doing something right now. I'll come back to you. Just give me a minute," you know.
So like antisocial.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you have to be a little bit, but I mean, when you're killing dragons, you can't, you know, help every elf that comes up to you. You know, you can't help every elf pick flowers all day long, because, you know, I did a quest like that. It wasn't fun. It was fun. I like picking flowers.
Man, you can pick a lot of flowers in that game.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Oh, my God. If you have OCD. If you're the kind of guy, like, if you enjoy mowing lawns, then you know who you are.
I play that iPhone game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So if it, that, like, there's something in your head that kind of click, you know, I don't want to say OCD because, like, this is something very specific. It's like, oh, I have to do all this one thing. And, like, if you have that little bug, you will not stop just walking with your head down, smashing on the space bar. Or, well, I guess it's E in this one. So you're just going to pick, because there's shit growing everywhere.
Oh yeah,
it's flowers or it's mushrooms or, you know, it's butterflies or whatever the crap. And
I think that's the middleware's name, actually.
What's it called? There's crap everywhere.
Shit growing everywhere.
Shit growing everywhere. So that's that. I find myself doing that sometimes, and I get off the path. I'm like, you know, I tell myself, I'm like, I'm only gonna grab the stuff that's directly in front of me, so I don't have to actually veer off this path, and I end up just zigzagging everywhere. This is probably Bethesda's way of keeping you in the game too. If they should have a monthly fee on this, and just put more flowers and make the flowers do more stuff.
Well, and the thing is like, but you've got to be careful too when picking flowers or chasing butterflies, because sometimes it'll lead you in a good direction, but it led me into a giant camp, you know. I'm going after a butterfly. I'm feeling good because I'm going to make a potion. I think that potion's going to help me. And then I look up, and there's a giant and a mastodon just like looking at me. I'm like, well, maybe they're okay. And they just, you know, boom, like I'm done and I'm dead. And Bethesda's good at doing that too. Is they're really good at creating a butterfly catching simulator that ends with your death.
I think the giant should protect random butterflies. I think that should be another AI routine of theirs.
I think he was protecting the mastodon, but my butterfly got too close to the mastodon, and you know how mastodons can be. I mean, you know they get creeped out by everything, you know.
Paranoid.
So, yeah.
Don't go chasing butterflies.
Don't. Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So Skyrim. So everybody here's played it quite a bit, right? I mean, we're all in agreement that this is like we're gonna keep playing this later in the year still.
Yes.
Yeah.
The game. Does anybody else keep finding themselves kind of waiting for the next patch, even though they've kind of fixed everything except on the PS3, but like, it's always like, okay, what version of Skyrim do I want to really invest myself into?
I haven't had any problems. I don't
I had the texture problem. I had the texture problem on the 360. So,
oh well,
it's like I'm playing a whole new game. So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say the latest one that kind of upped the RAM was nice. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of issues before that, but I mean it definitely helped. You know, but. Yeah, I think they're at a good point. The thing is, it's really tough for me to like wait on patches too much after what I went through with Fallout New Vegas, you know? And I played that game from when it first came out till, you know, just probably in July. I mean, that was probably the last time I played it. And I mean, that was patch after patch after patch after patch. And that game was broken. And people have said, oh, Skyrim's broken. And yeah, PS3, Xbox 360 had more issues than I think the PC actually did, which is kind of cool for the first time ever. So.
Snarky laugh.
Sucks. So yeah, Skyrim. So Ethan, what else have you been playing, man?
You know, I've really got to talk about Saints Row the Third. I'm sure everybody's been playing this game too. I have not had more fun with a game in a long yes. freaking time. I am being such a completionist on this game that and I haven't done this for a long time, which is really weird, but says a lot about this game too. Is, you know, I'm trying to conquer every island. I've done every little activity that you can do. I'm thinking about investing in the, you know, all of the DLC, so the you know, the subscription, that $19.99 thing.
Did you beat the story?
Not yet. I actually stopped playing the game because I'm close to the end and I'm not ready for that. Like, I'm just not ready for it. You know, I'm like, I've had too good of a time, and everything that they do with that game. I mean, my assumption was it's going to be a fun game. The storyline is going to be kind of, you know, it'll be a throwaway story. It's not a big deal, but I really like the story, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it keeps you on your toes, not in the sense that like a mystery movie does, but you don't know what the hell is going to happen next. I mean, literally, you know, I mean, if you go from the very first scene in the game to what I'm, you know, what's happening now, I don't want to go into it too much, but it's just, it's insane. There's all kinds of stuff happening. There's all random ass stuff happening. And if you really pay attention, they make subtle hints at the next kind of step and things, you know. And if we were doing spoilers, I would talk about the one event that got me excited, and I'm sure you all know what that was, but
I don't know. There's every like time three, somebody says, yeah,
it's like three or four of them.
Yeah, every time someone says that, I go, I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's this thing I saw, but I'm not that far in the game. So.
Even knowing Ethan, I can't guess which one of like three of them it is.
You know what? I'll go off of that subject because I don't want to ruin it because this scene is just so funny and tongue in cheek and. It was really satirical too, which I think the game does a really great job at. I mean, if you look at the game just as a game, it's really fun, but they poke fun at so many other games. They do it well. They don't do it in a kind of Duke Nukem way where it's just over the top and just stupid. I mean, it's funny. Yeah. The characters are funny. I like the characters. I'm a bad guy.
Saints Flow tastes like piss.
but I mean, I don't ever play as a bad guy, and I'm okay doing it in this game because I almost feel like the people that I'm killing and maiming, I mean, it doesn't matter because I'm a celebrity, you know? Like, that sounds horrible. Like, you know, this is not a game for kids by any stretch of the imagination, but
I'm a
like,
great
I'm always
murderer.
A good guy. And my wife literally can't watch me play this game because she it just kind of upsets her because she sees what I'm doing. You know, I'm running people over with, you know, garbage trucks, and I'm, you know, setting people on fire, and I'm okay with it. I'm laughing because it is funny, and I don't know why it shouldn't be. It's sick. I'm a sick man.
I've got a better significant other story because Megan hasn't really watched this game, but when I was really playing it heavily, one weekend it was during some Saturday during the day, and she was out and about in the house and just came in my office at one point when I was playing the game, and I'm in the tattoo parlor with my avatar that looks a lot like Angelina Jolie, and I'm putting tattoos on her, and she's like, "What the fuck are you playing?" And I would like with
that's awkward.
My reflex reaction just didn't help. It doesn't make any more sense to her. It was, no, I have to get these tattoos to get cred, so that so she just thought I was playing some stripper game.
Yeah,
she thought it was Second Life.
Yeah, I mean, in that mode, that wouldn't have been a bad guess, but
I finally played the co-op.
With who?
Not you, obviously. I know. No, Travis, who I played through the first game, the second one co-op with. So I owed him a night. It was just like a random thing. It was like, you know, I'm on Steam. I see him. I go, all right, let's do this. I just sent him a thing, and he stopped whatever he was doing. Holy shit. It was everything that I hoped it would be. Mm-hmm. We played we did just mission after mission. We goofed off the whole time, but never did I feel like I had to continue whatever the thing was. Like they didn't time me a whole bunch, I thought, which was cool. You know, like sometimes you feel rushed. It's like the reason I don't like escort missions and shit like that. Anytime you put a timer on the screen in that kind of game where I'm just trying to chill out, I want to kill stuff, but I want to do it on my own terms. Like then I get put off. They didn't really ever do that. So I just always turn on a mission and going, just getting there, like the in-between stuff would just be crazy. We would just do the stupidest shit and we would get in so much trouble and sometimes we'd die. But like there's almost no penalty for dying. You can have a sweet car, crash up real bad, go to any of your garages and just get the thing again for free. I mean, and if you've just like pissed off every gang in the city, the FBI's after you, there's helicopters, there's tanks, and you hit a mission marker to start a mission, it wipes all that shit clean.
Yep.
So yeah. Those are the things they're like, and yet, you know, it is the gamiest game.
I was going to say, it may be the best video game of all time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's super tongue in cheek with the humor and all that kind of stuff. But the game, like mechanics itself, like so many little design decisions were just like built for your enjoyment. And that's like why I'm enjoying it so much. And that co-op, if you guys haven't played it, two players yet.
Yeah, I need to do that.
We've got to do it because it's so much fun.
What's everybody's kind of favorite, like, not mundane task, but just like when you're bored in that game, what's your go-to fuck around tactic?
Ooh, Ethan, go.
You know, I've actually I acquired a jet motorcycle. I don't think that's much of a spoiler.
What?
It's fine.
Yeah, I think I've seen it in a screenshot or something.
Yeah, it's in a screenshot. Yeah, you'll see it. And I just kind of like hang around. I fly around the city. I visit elderly people, you know, I bring them food,
flowers.
No, actually I like to actually go as high as I can and jump off my motorcycle and then let it fall to the earth. And then I fall as well. It doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes it gets stuck because I fly too high. I like parachuting, I guess maybe is what I like to do the best is parachute.
Yeah. Parachuting's good. I like getting a car, driving as fast as I can for as far as I can while pissing off everybody else along the way with somebody riding shotgun and then watch them freak out.
Like a hostage? You take hostages?
No, like another person. Like when we were playing, we'd get in a car and I know Travis is like, oh God, you know,
human.
I'm gonna drive. Like I'm pretty, like I'm actually pretty good. Like the keyboard controls on the PC version are awesome.
But it's really tight with the controller too.
Yeah. It works. Oh well, I mean, I knew it'd be good with like a controller, but I just like the last one. The keyboard controls for driving really sucked, so I was just really impressed that they improved that so much. So I'm pretty decent, and I can, you know, like power sliding around turns and stuff is really fun, and you can make the cars do exactly what you want to do, but it's not so tight that there's not room for some slop and some mistakes. So that's where I have the most fun, is driving around like an asshole, running over stuff. And did you guys get the pre-order, the truck that scoops up people and shoots them out?
The Genki catapult thing.
Yes.
No, I didn't. I wish I did.
Oh my God.
You're missing out.
I know.
You shoot people out of a cannon at other stuff. And
Oh, I know. I know.
And you can get out and it'll suck you up and you can shoot yourself.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Or if you're playing co-op, you can suck your partner up in there and shoot him to roofs and stuff.
I found myself even at the end of the game still like getting, you know, giggling at the tire spike upgrade on your car. Just going up and down the street slowly and just kneecapping people. Just not the cars, but just like just terrorizing the pedestrians. Like I as I'm trying to figure out what else I want to do, I'm just constantly halfway on a sidewalk just kneecapping people. And I did that throughout my entire 20 hours at the game just because that would just always make me laugh.
God, I mean, if I didn't know better, I would think that we were all kind of messed up.
Yeah, sounds like it. Aaron didn't offer a messed up story. I want to know if he's as twisted as us.
Yeah, by all means.
I like to get into the fastest car I can, turn it to the oldie station, just get aim like align myself on the sidewalk and just car torpedo that sucker into the biggest crowd of people. And then while that music's still blaring, I'll just start testicular, you know, shotting at every man I see.
Oh my God!
Wow. He wins. He definitely wins. I like the little detail of the oldie station, you know?
You gotta have the oldie station going.
I wonder, I feel like maybe some of us are holding back a little bit on our stories, though, too, because there's some stuff I've done in the game that I feel like I shouldn't even say.
Well, I can say that my avatar is a woman and she was topless at the time or something.
I mean, like I run around with the big purple dildo half the time.
Of course, I figured that. Yeah.
But the things I've done with it, I'm not really proud of. At the time, though, I just got caught up in the moment.
Can you? Oh wait. Explain to me an act that you've done with a giant purple dildo that you are proud of.
All right. So if that's the Saints Row the Third. Yeah. No, that's all. The game is awesome. We need to have some co-op sessions, and we need to get some video of this. Yeah.
Needs to be a part of this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the game is fantastic. It's unanimous. Justin, what else you playing, dude?
Speaking of needs, I had a need for speed. No, actually, for some reason, as I was saying, my problem with the Old Republic was I kept only having like 20 to 30 minutes to play games at a time, and I don't have very many games that I like to jump in and out of very quickly. And also, we've had a lot of Megan's daughters had a lot of friends over, so and friends and family over, little kids running around, so I have to find the kids safe game. So I've been playing a lot of Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. So that is 2010's hot Need for Speed game and the Criterion game, and it is still fantastic, but it's also really fun because that was the one where they implemented the leaderboard,
the auto log.
Thank you. Yeah, the auto log. Yeah. And plenty of my friends have played it in the last 6 months when I haven't played it, so I have lots of scores to push myself forward with. So that game still, it looks gorgeous. I love the soundtrack in it for some reason. And just going back and forth between doing racer and cop stuff. No, this is pre-dubstep, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Wub, 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 wub.
God damn it. It's everywhere. The dubstep is everywhere now. And it's getting old.
I love it. I love it.
Just accept it. Dude. And by the time you accept it, it'll be done.
I guess.
But yeah, I was kind of disappointed that the new Need for Speed, the run, didn't blow anybody's doors off. So, I still like a racing game every now and then, and this has replaced Burnout Paradise for me for my go-to racing game. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, all the races are kind of in short bursts, and but I haven't really made very much progress like campaign-wise in that game because I keep doing the same races because I keep trying to beat my times or beat a friend's time. So like I go in with the mindset, yeah, I'm just gonna knock out 5 new things and get some new cars and move things forward and try to get some achievements, and no, I just hang out on one track with one car trying to beat my time by 3 seconds, but it's still
what's your fun. Favorite mode?
I like actually playing as the cop and doing like the actual hot pursuits that way and trying.
I would agree with that. That is awesome
to bring down the racers and using your different tools, and I love landing the EMP charges. Just you have to kind of hold your target and zap them and they wreck. And then, I'm a big fan of causing the cars to wreck in any Criterion game, and that kind of gives me that power where I'm in charge of that. Versus when you're a racer, you're being chased and trying to survive. Versus, so you don't want to take much damage or knock other cars out of the way. It's a little bit more hectic that way.
So, how are there people still playing online in this game?
I know,
it's been a while since it was released, but
I actually didn't try it online. I know it was one of those, games that EA had a little bit of trouble with their season pass, but the online pass.
Online pass, yeah.
So I didn't actually try that. I should have, just out of that curiosity, but I had played online mode in the past, and online Hot Pursuit, like those Hot Pursuit races, where you've got a team of cops and a team of racers, is a lot of fun, especially because I didn't know how to play the first time. And so when you're cops, you're all kind of working together to bring down the racers. Well, when you're the racers, you're kind of working together to escape the cops, but you still want to win the race. So there's always this moment where you've kind of got a buddy you're racing around with trying to screw up this cop, and then you turn on each other. And reminded me of the classic Diablo moment where you kind of have a buddy your very first time online and they just kind of screw you over. And I was very naive, and it made me love the game, actually. So
I don't think that I would have really enjoyed this game, like especially the multiplayer, but I don't think like without a good online crowd, which I guess after
it did for a while,
year and a half or something like that, I'm guessing there's probably not gonna be a whole lot of people on. So
it's a good couch. Well, not a couch game. It's a good like buddy. If you can get four or five people playing, like
that doesn't have split screen, does it?
I don't think so. But I mean, four or five buddies online, it's still like I still would rather do Hot Pursuit type of stuff with friends than strangers. So
sure, yeah. But then you got to convince everyone else to buy.
But
it.
I'm sure the people that are playing are pretty damn good and hardcore at that game right now.
Yeah, that's always a problem though, you know. Like you get a game that is just kind of niche enough to like not have a gigantic following, and then year after the game comes out, there's either no one playing it or there's this like super hardcore community. Happens with a lot of games, and sometimes it keeps me from buying it.
I've always felt that I've never really given Hot Pursuit its due. It's always been the secondary game that I've been playing, never the primary game. Do you guys ever feel like you kind of have that good game that you've always had on the back burner like that?
You're talking about
in general, like, because I feel like I should have dedicated myself to that game and I never did.
All my games are on the back burner.
I can't really name one. I kind of have that. I kind of feel that way about like Dungeon Defenders and those kind of games. You know, like I'm kind of nervous that by the time I come back to them, it'll be too late. You know, so yeah, it's always kind of in the back of my mind.
My multiplayer games are my go-tos, my standbys. Like it's always it always kind of changes. Like right now, it's probably Battlefield 3, and before that, maybe it was one of the Call of Duty games or Counter-Strike or whatever. And like because the multiplayer stuff is I know what kind of experience I'm gonna get, and it's pretty bite-sized. And you know, if I play it online, it's strangers, so they don't care if I quit. That kind of thing. Those are my go-tos. Although you know, a racing game, I mean, like I've treated Burnout Paradise like that before in the past, but most of my experience with that game was played like on a LAN, you know, at like Nethead. So trying to play it at home is, you know, feel like I'm losing something, you know, there in the process there. So, yeah. All right. So, Aaron, what else are you playing, dude, other than The Witcher?
I am also playing Battlefield 3 multiplayer mostly. Just trying to level up, and it's been a mixture of good and bad. I mean, I play with the other Horrible Knight guys, like Copper Skull, H21, we'll play. And that's when it's fun. We get into a squad together. I like to jump on when they're streaming, get some time on the internet spotlight, so I can showcase myself dying, but I'm just trying to rank up those kits. I got Battlefield Bad Company 2, and I really liked the way that played, and Battlefield 3 is kind of like a more refined version of that, so I really want to kind of tough it out, make it my go-to multiplayer game, and actually rank up enough to feel satisfied with it. I mean, no two games are the same. You have all the different kits you can choose from. It's it's a really fun game, and I'm glad I broke down and bought it to actually play it with some people rather than passing on most first-person shooters from the end of last year altogether.
And you're playing it on Xbox, right?
Yeah, I'm playing on the Xbox. I had originally thought I'd go PC because I have a hometown friend that thought I was going to do that, but then I guess betrayed him and went the 360 route.
So what made you choose the 360 version then? I mean, you've got to know. I mean, you got to know like the PC one is going to be kind of the definitive version.
I definitely knew that it was a Black Friday sale where Amazon, for a brief period of time, put the PS3 and 360 versions of Battlefield 3 down to, I think, about $27, and I had a $10 credit, so I was like, oh, wow, I can get it for less than $20, but they didn't do it for their download version of the PC copy, so I'm like, oh, that's too bad. If they had done that one, I would have bought that version, and then maybe 10 minutes later, they're like, whoops, and then they dropped that version down as well. Huh. I was like, son of a bitch, so now I'm stuck with the 360 version, but it'll probably drop on PC at some point again. I know Origin or EA puts it on sale, and eventually...
It's on sale right now.
Is it?
Yeah. I think they're having a sale this week, like
those crazy bastards
or something like that. Yeah,
we've got a Horrible Night Platoon or something, don't we?
Yeah, there's a group of people at the platoon, and there's maybe somewhere in the teens of people that are playing, nice. And so there's a good number of people, and at least one of us seems to be on at any given time. So if we get some more people in there, it could be a rocking joint of getting blown up in the sky.
I think I'm a 360 sale away from getting that game.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Dude, I don't have a PC that can handle that game, so, and I'm not gonna.
No way. What do you have in that thing?
I don't even remember. It was whatever I picked up Best Buy on for a deal because I was my other computer died, and it's a very disappointing story, Josh, but I did not buy this as a gaming computer. So
Ethan, what about you? You haven't played this yet, right?
Oh yeah, I played the hell out of it.
Oh yeah, no, you just got it.
I got it for Christmas, and I kind of thought it would be a game. I popped it in, and I didn't pop it in, I guess. That's not how you play PC games, obviously. I popped it in, and it didn't work.
Popped in those bits, those bites. Well,
I've loved it. I've talked about some cheating issues that have happened a couple times, but besides that, I mean, I actually found that the more tactical side of things with this game, I'm actually a lot better at it than like a Call of Duty, which surprised me. I mean, when I first started playing, I got totally killed every step I took, but now I'm kind of getting into the rhythm of it, and I really, really enjoy this game. I find myself healing people more so than shooting people, which is kind of a nice respite from Saints Row 3. You know, I play that game, and I just murder people viciously.
Do you pick them flowers?
Well, no, you're not able to do that in Battlefield. It just, the technology's not there quite yet, you know? But there are flowers, you just can't pick them.
I'm limited engine.
I like to think of myself, and this is actually, whenever I go in, I rush into the thick of battle with my, paddles, my electric paddles to revive somebody. And in the back of my mind, the Foo Fighters, There Goes My Hero is always playing. And I tend to get killed 50% of the time, but the other 50%, I resurrect the guy, and for a moment our eyes meet, and he's like, thanks, man. And I'm like, cool, no problem. And then we just move on from there and shoot people.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, it is. It's a nice little thing. But, that game is so cool. It's so much fun. I'm not good at vehicles, but that's okay. I tend not to do as many Rambo moments as I tend to do in other games, so I actually kind of keep things constrained for the most part. And I love it. I want to be in a platoon, though. I'm a little bit jealous of that. But
well, why don't you join? We have a PC platoon as well.
We do?
People play. No, it's not. No, we have other people.
We'll invite me. Will you invite me?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, just invite me to.
Anybody else wants to join, you can. It's Josh's Heroes, and there's regularly some people playing, so it's good stuff. They separated the platoons, so they exist like in the same battle log, and you can see the people they're playing on 360 when you're on PC, but you can't actually join the platoon on the PC, which is kind of silly because
that's strange.
Yeah. Because there's just enough of the two that like work together that you think that they would just let you just at least be in the platoon so you could like share, you know, stats and chat and logos and all that kind of stuff. And it was, I thought that was really stupid. So, so yeah, we couldn't have the horrible crew on the PC. So, you can still add people to your friends list and chat and, or, well, see them at least. I don't know. I probably can't send a typed message to one of you guys when you're playing on the 360, but I absolutely love the 64 man maps.
Oh,
They're way bigger. There's more stuff going on. And the thing you're talking about, Ethan, with why you're better at this game than maybe the Call of Duty and stuff is the same reason I think I'm better at these games than those, is because there's more opportunity for actual strategy and tactics to reign supreme versus just the Twitch stuff. Because you don't, there are some close quarters fighting and yeah, you know, guy with a better aim may get the jump on you, but twitching out and jumping and spinning and stuff like that doesn't usually get you a kill. The guy, if you see a guy and you just kind of stop, maybe crouch, aim for his, you know, for his face or something like that, you're going to get a kill. It almost rewards patience in a lot of ways. You know, just like you capture a point and you don't run off to the next one. You wait and then enemies will come to you and you'll have advantage point on them, you know, and then like high ground and stuff makes a big difference. And you don't get those opportunities in a lot of other games. So that's why it's my go-to. And I actually wanted to ask you guys, too, if you guys played the new maps, the Back to Karkand stuff.
Yeah, I've got those. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't. I think I need to. A lot of people are playing those on those maps right now, so I need to definitely check them out. Is there a huge? I mean, are they just? Do they blow you out of the water? Or is this just kind of standard stuff? I mean,
well, they're remakes of Battlefield 2 maps, and well, Wake Island actually comes from 1942, but they had a couple different versions of that in other games, and they took, I guess what you would say is like the best maps from 2, and they remade them, and they play very similarly. Like choke points and stuff are kind of the same, except there's a lot more detail on the levels and like more stuff to hide behind, and you can blow up the buildings now and that kind of stuff. So there's different approaches than you would been able to take in 2, as far as like how to attack a point. But I played last night. I actually played all four of the maps, and I thought they were all really well done, and they play very differently. Like the strike at Karkand has limited vehicles. There's no flying or anything like that in that one, I think. But that's like a city fight, and it's a lot of close quarter stuff and guys in windows and on rooftops and stuff like that. So if you're a big infantry guy, you like that. Wake Island is like the opposite, where it's just like it's a big island, but it's so kind of open in a lot of places that it's kind of sniper's heaven. But if you have good support, like you have people actually spotting guys and stuff like that, you can bring in like air support and just like lay waste to an entire capture point and roll in, you know, by boat or whatever. So yeah, so there's like some, and the other two are kind of good mix, and I really like those. Like Sharky Peninsula is really good, and so I really enjoy them. But since I had got the special edition of the game, the early copies had it for free included. That's great. If I had to pay $15 for 4 maps, I maybe would think twice, because I'd never liked that about the Call of Duty series when they did that.
Yeah, that was the worst part. And I mean, the only reason I forked over that money was I got it for that really cheap price. So I'm like, I'm still not paying, you know, $75 like some people that got standard edition plus those maps. And I knew that I was going to have people to play it with. So I was like, $15, I can deal with that if I'm going to actually play this.
Yeah. But they are good, though. So if you get them, if you've got the money to fork over, I would say that's it. Go for it.
And they've got the assignments too, so there's extra little challenges in there.
Yeah, yeah, they've added. I mean, you've got the maps, but it looks like they added, you know, a couple little things to the actual, you know, gameplay side of it.
Yeah, and they're just I think they're exclusive to those maps. You won't see those guns outside of that. And most people won't even notice that like some of the vehicles are different in those levels. They have like some different. You know, they basically had remade some of the Battlefield 2 stuff. So that, though, if you didn't play 2 like a lot, you won't even notice a lot of that stuff being in there. So it's about the, don't look at those other things as like the reasons why you'd want to buy this. You know, look at it like, hey, I've got 4 more maps and they're all really good, And if you're tired of this, you know, I didn't think all of the Battlefield 3 maps were fantastic. Like Operation Metro was a meat grinder.
That's the Rocket Enema map.
Yeah, that's not, yeah, that's, I don't think some of those aren't awesome, but these are four, you know, really good maps to come go along with it. So, so I actually was also playing this past weekend some more MechWarrior Living Legends. I think I mentioned this before on the show, on the Horrible Show. It's a total conversion of Crisis, or I guess Crisis Wars, which was Warhead's multiplayer component. BattleTech, or MechWarrior, as it's known on PC games. And this is probably, and it's in real time, you know, it's first person, like, you know, like you'd expect, but it's probably the most realistic depiction of, like, of MechWarrior that you could possibly get today. I mean, the MechWarrior games on the PC were really good, and I did enjoy the Mech Assault games on Xbox and stuff. That's cool. But this is, like, really, this is really pretty hardcore, and it's been in development for, like, a couple of years now. And they keep adding stuff to it, new features, you know, fixing up bugs. And it's to the point now where, and if you have a good PC, you have to have a pretty good PC. Otherwise, it will get kind of choppy. It's Crysis, you know, and it's the pushing the Crysis engine pretty hard. But with a good PC, it'll be silky smooth. It'll look awesome. And it's going to have everything that you possibly want out of a MechWarrior game, I think. Where you can run around in little battle armors, you can, you know, get in all kinds of different mechs. It's got the tanks, hover tanks. It's got VTOLs. It's got aerospace fighters and stuff. And you've got all kinds of different loadouts for each mech. And like the actual combat is really solid. And like BattleTech is all about like you've got these different size mechs. Like you've got these little kind of tiny fast ones that don't have a lot of armor or weapons, but they do move like five times faster than a big mech, and in these gigantic lumbering things that don't maneuver real well but have tons of weapons, but they can overheat if you shoot them all at once, that kind of thing. So, and everything in between, and there's a pretty good balance there. And you need like a good mix, because like you've got guys with like big artillery weapons, and you got to have a guy like basically like lacing the target in order to hit with them and that kind of thing. And a lot of different tactics going on. It's multiplayer. This is not like a single player thing. You're only going to play online. But that's pretty awesome. I'm guessing none of you guys have actually played this game.
No, but I used
no.
to.
No.
I used to be like the early mech games. I think I got into Earth Siege, and I want to say I played MechWarrior 2. Is that Mercenaries?
Yeah. I think 3 was Mercenaries. Yeah.
I used to really, really love those games. And I still think it's awesome that they converted the Crysis mod to pull this off. Yeah. But this is different than you've also been promoting a little bit the upcoming free to play MechWarrior, right?
Yeah, MechWarrior Online. Okay. That's going to be totally different thing. That's an actual licensed product. This is just a mod, free mod from some dudes.
How active is the community around it?
Seems pretty good. I mean, like, at any given time, you can go and find plenty of, you know, servers with that are like full up on guys, you know, like 30 guys or whatever. I've never like logged in and not had anybody to play with.
Mm-hmm.
But there are peak times, I think. But it's kind of like global too. So you get guys that'll be in from kind of wherever, but there's like plenty of North American servers.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wish I had more to ask, but it's like I feel so out of touch as far as to know how this even compares to the most recent the official versions of those games. But it's just I really hope for your guys' sake, and just I have a passing interest in the genre, that it has a little bit of resurgence here.
Yeah, and there aren't really any modern versions of MechWarrior. I mean, MechWarrior 4 was the last one they put out, and you can actually get all those. I think was it MechTech.net or something like that had we'll have to get that link. Had like all the MechWarrior games, the old ones for the PC, available for free. They like became you know, kind of like Free Space, you know, did there at one point. So you could grab all those. It was legal, and and so MechWarrior Online, I'm pretty pumped for. That should be pretty good. There was a failed MechWarrior game like maybe 5-6 years ago. It was online. They had a beta. I got to play that, me and a friend, and then it got shut down, never got released. But it was like BattleTech 3025, I think it was called. It was kind of like early on in the, it was like before the clans were introduced, like in that lore. And it played, man, a lot like how they described MechWarrior Online, the new one. But it was okay, but it wasn't awesome. But yeah. And I've been playing the tabletop BattleTech as well. So that kind of got me extra pumped for the game stuff.
I think you're ready.
My only question on it is I know that some of these mech games, is it more of a sim type feel in terms of the controls and stuff like that, or is it more arcadey? That's the only thing that kind of prevents me from getting into some of them, because and I off the top of my head I can't remember what I'd played, but I had played a mech game that was just too. I felt like I had to think too much, and not that I'm that stupid, but it just, I felt like it took so much time to position myself that I was already dead. You know, is it?
It's pretty in between. Like, it's okay. Definitely more simulation than like Mech Assault. But it, like, I don't necessarily think that it's totally unapproachable. Like, and you kind of ease your, you have to kind of ease your way in to the game, just because you can't afford, like, right out of the, like, when you spawn, you don't just like go, oh, I'm all right, put me in this big Atlas like mech. You have money, and it depends on the server, I guess. But so usually you start out with not a lot of money, so you have to buy, you get like either one of the really small mechs. You only have like one or two weapons to manage, so you're just kind of using WASD to run around and you're turning and shooting, with like, you know, two buttons. Or you can get into like a hover tank or something, and that's even easier to control. You do that a little bit, you know, and maybe you kill some stuff or whatever, and then you die a couple times, and then now you got money, and so like, okay, now I'm gonna get like a medium, you know, mech or something. You don't just like go right for the big assault mechs.
Oh, okay.
And like the first time I played it, I mean, I was very familiar with everything I was seeing, but you know, control wise, it was like, okay, what button does what? And there weren't so many extra buttons. Like the hardest thing you'll do is link your different weapons to different buttons, like on your mouse. Because like you have weapon groups that, you know, because you don't want all your weapons to fire every time you click like left mouse. Yeah. Because if you do that, one, that's either kind of it's all or none with your accuracy, you know, and then two is heat, because you actually produce heat like from like lasers and stuff. And so you just do what they call alpha strike, shoot everything. You are absolutely not going to – you're just going to die. I mean, you're just going to overheat. Your thing's going to shut down. Someone's just going to shoot you like right in the cockpit and you're going to blow up.
Right in the cockpit.
Yeah. Right there.
Right in the cockpit.
So, yeah.
Sorry, I was just brought me back into the conversation.
All right, that's cool. Well, that'll do it for our game discussion. Next up, I'm going to throw it over to Justin for some HorribleNight.com site updates.
Sure thing. As you can tell, we've got some new podcasts going up on the site. Earlier this week, we had our second episode of The Cursed Checkpoint, and we enabled the iTunes feed on that podcast. And then when you're listening to this first episode of Super Gaming Best Friends, the iTunes link should be available by the end of the week. It probably won't be up during the first episode, just the way that some of those approval processes work. And just getting new podcasts going is a little bit more complicated than some other things, but you will have individual feeds that you can subscribe to our three podcasts. And so you can expect, again, just alternating weeks between The Horrible Show, we'll go every other week, and the weeks in between, we will do Super Gaming Friends. And our goal is to kind of rotate in as many members and writers of HorribleNight.com and community and our industry friends, and just have ongoing game conversations there, and kind of keep our editorial stuff to The Horrible Show. And then kind of our topical podcast, The Cursed Checkpoint, will rotate through a lot of different people, but be very short and singularly focused. So let us know what you think of the new shows, the new formats, if they're working for you, and let us know which one your favorites are, and give us some support on Twitter and maybe an iTunes review when you get the chance. We'd appreciate it. So in support of all of that, we've changed the Twitter account for basically all – we're going to promote all of our media, which includes the podcasts and any streaming events and that sort of thing on our other Twitter account, which is @HorribleShows. And then As usual, just keeping up with blog posts will be mainly blog posts, and community comments will be handled through our @horriblenight Twitter account. So I'll detail that a little bit more in an upcoming post on the site, but just kind of wanted to give you a little inkling on some of the changes that we're doing to get organized to support these shows. So that's all I got for now.
All right. Thanks, Justin. All right. Now we're going to jump into our threesomes of the week, a little off-topic discussion, some of the stuff that we've been, it's like movies we've been watching, music we're checking out, hopefully not a whole lot of books that we're reading, because we have some people on the show right now that don't read.
It just makes me feel alone when people say they read.
there's no multiplayer reading.
sounds horrible. Yeah.
Those of you... the Kindle sharing, that's kind of multiplayer, turn-based.
Co-op reading.
Yeah, it's co-op. So, those of you that...
Now I'm into it. Let's do it. Let's read.
God damn it. Those of you that listen to the Horrible Show in the past will know kind of what this is about. Ethan, I'll let you start this off, I think.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Good. I'm glad you have confidence in me on this one. I wanted to start off. I'm a huge fan of the Weird USA series of books.
Books.
Which is basically, it's I know, but these have pictures of them, Justin, so you'd be able to navigate them. for those of you that don't know what those books are, basically books. Every state has its share of weird stories, weird, physical locations, all that kind of stuff. And these books have compiled all of that into an easy to look at function. It's great. But actually the website is currently trying to get all that information from the books onto a website, which I think is better for certain people. And I'm not pointing at anybody here. Okay. I want to get that across, but certain people like websites better than books. Am I right on that? Okay. So, but yeah, Weird USA, if you're ever going on a road trip and you're really not liking the amount of time that you're going to spend driving, you should pick one of these books up for your designated state location, and you'll be able to have a little bit more fun looking for some goofy, goofy stuff. Indiana's got some crazy things that go on around here, so giant turtles and ghosts and junkyards and all kinds of neat stuff.
Like the Aldabra tortoise?
Yes, yes, up northern Indiana.
You can check those out at our zoo.
What?
You used to be able to. I think it
does. Oh, this is a giant snapping turtle, actually.
Please continue.
Was that Toka or Rezar?
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. Oh,
ninja anyway. Rap.
Moving on.
Oh, that sounds cool. Like,
You'll like it if you can read. If you can read, you'll like this. This is a moving picture. The next item I'm doing is a moving picture show known as Television. Ooh. The Event, which Aubrey, my wife, began watching.
Didn't the event already end?
Yeah, it has. I haven't yet. Don't
dude.
Spoilers.
It's, you know what? She watches it when I play video games. I'm okay with it. So let's just keep it on the DL. She's sitting in the room right now, so she knows that
your plan's not gonna
series
work.
Has come to a conclusion. Yeah, I don't really like it at all. I sat down and tried to watch it with her. I don't like it at all. It's not fun to watch. It's really boring.
What I thought? I should put this on my list to talk about.
Well, and I wanted to talk about it. I had a very, very significant reason for talking about it is that for those of you that haven't watched it, The Event revolves around space aliens. Okay. In one way or another, it's okay. And they're so lame. Like, when I think aliens, like, Aubrey was like, oh, it's an alien show. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm into that.
Like X-Files.
Like V. Yeah.
Like V.
They're like people. I don't want people. I want multiple, genitals, I want those kind of aliens. I want green skin and big eyes and eating things that they shouldn't eat. That's my kind of alien, and these aren't those kind of aliens. Not at all.
When listening to Ethan, I recommend only picking up like every third or fourth word. It's really, really interesting.
Genitals.
Yeah,
it probably makes more sense then. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend this show. I haven't not recommended.
Hey, thanks for the
heads up. I haven't not recommended anything for a really long
time. Warnings of the week.
Thanks, dude. I won't go to Hulu.com and search for the event now.
Yeah, don't do it. It's not worth
appreciate
it.
Appreciate it.
They've spent a lot of money like trying to win search results for the phrase "the event." Seriously.
God. Yeah, that's real generic.
Sorry, right. It's my day job. Sorry.
SEO nightmare, right, Justin?
Oh, damn.
Ethan, you better have a really good third threesome.
Yeah, I really do. Guillermo del Toro. I can't pronounce his name. I'll never be able to, but it's okay because I'm a huge fan. Been a fan since Pan's Labyrinth and actually Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which came out at some point. I don't know when. I watched that on Zune on the Xbox 360, which is one of the first times I've
rented it.
Yeah, I rented it. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That works?
Yeah. What, does it not?
No, I didn't know anybody that ever has actually tried that before.
What, off Zune?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do it all the time. It's fun. It's great.
Well, oh, I'm getting confused with Are You Afraid of the Dark? My bad. Holy shit, Guillermo del Toro did work for Nickelodeon.
Yeah, they were the best ones. Everybody's like, amazing. These are great.
There's a lot of fucked up kids out there right now.
But I really thought that's what it was. But I was surprised, pleasantly surprised to find that it wasn't, you know, based on the Nickelodeon show, but it was a really good movie. I like how he... I'm not usually one for noticing things like art, design, and music. I'm just not. But I really liked, you know, how everything just tied together. You know, how the lighting, you know, worked out, and how it's almost like his movies are like Disney cartoons for adults. That's kind of, there's a lot of fantasy to them. They're always really dark too. You know what I mean? And this one was great. It was suspenseful. Wasn't really scary by any stretch of the imagination because you kind of figured out what was going on relatively early on. But I love the little – I mean, it just all of his little creatures that are featured in his movies, are they remind me of the Jim Henson stuff, you know. And I definitely am a fan of little tiny things that go bump in the night. So it would make you afraid of the dark, if you will. So,
oh, God.
I recommend the movie, definitely. It's especially if you are on a date, on a first date, and you want your lady friend to get close enough to you and to be scared to want to touch your penis.
Dude, if you're on a first date, and wait a minute. So you're going to go, hey, so that dinner was nice, wasn't it? You want to go back to my place, sit on the couch, turn on the Xbox, go to Zune Marketplace and rent Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
Well, I mean, if you're the type that explains every step throughout a process.
Well, if you don't explain it, it's going to be pretty forward, you know, like, hey, you want to go to my place and watch a movie?
Hey, let's go watch a movie.
You don't break out the Del Toro.
Just take
it. No, don't tell him where you're going.
Just go.
Unless your nickname for your Johnson is Del Toro. I mean, that's not, you don't invite a girl back to your house on like the first date and have her not assume that it's like, oh, wow, that's very bold. You think you're going to get laid tonight?
Well, it was a good movie.
You could buy a Zoom and just bring it on the date.
That's better. There you go. Hey, let's just sit here after dinner and not leave the restaurant and watch this movie.
Okay, maybe fifth date. Is that okay? Is that okay? You know?
I don't know. We really got to get to know each other before my Xbox.
You break out the Toro.
God damn it. Justin Lacey, what are your threesomes this week?
I've got fans of the horrible show, we've got a recurring topic here because I can't stop bringing up Supernatural. Other people are talking about it a lot, but it's worth noting just because in the last month I've been obsessed with the show. We've just entered into season 4 of the show, so we're catching up, and I've been really happy with my Amazon streaming experience, just kind of going season to season there, and still really loving this show like to an unexpected degree, because I wrote it off for so long for just being a CW show, and it's very excellent. And the other side to it that I didn't expect is I'm really getting into the soundtrack, since Dean, one of the brothers, has pretty much my music taste for for classic and hard rock. So I found a Spotify playlist for that covers all of the music from the entire show, and been driving around listening to that and wanting to trade my car in for an Impala. So.
Are you wearing like 4 button-up shirts and a brown leather jacket now, too?
Well, we're working on that wardrobe change.
Come on, Sammy, let's go get some beers.
Hey, man. I almost bought a jacket like 2 weeks ago because it looked like the one that Dean had. So,
but anybody that's a fan of like monsters in general and just and you know I've watched a lot of the other like the ghost hunting shows, but this is just a really good change of pace. That it's just a really well done show as far as how they jump from demons to monsters and always hunting them. And I don't know, I like it doesn't feel as geeky to me for some reason the way they present it, but. I know it's kind of geeky content, but I love the show.
Whoa, what do you mean geeky content?
I'm saying we're geeks that like monsters.
When you say it like that, it sounds horrible. Yeah, right.
Geek geek is a compliment in my vocabulary.
Well, but when you say geeky, like that's not
geeky.
Yeah, there you go. Geeky, I'm a geek. No,
he didn't
yeah,
say nerdy.
No, that, yeah. See, that's that would be the insult.
Nerd is the insult, isn't it? Did we determine that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not this, so much. Yeah. This is widely known. We don't need to have this discussion.
So hopefully I haven't jinxed the show because I have done that with some other shows that I've picked up that are seasons ahead of me. They tend to get canceled right about the time I get caught up. So I'm going to hang back on this one at least a season. So,
where are you at again? What season?
Just started season 4. I think you're 3 or 4 episodes in.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because it's on 7 right now.
But man, yeah, this was every season. Like it took a while for that show to get going during the first season, but about 3/4 of the way through it, after that point, it's been nonstop. I can't put the show down. So
yeah,
watch out though. You say what? You don't like CW stuff, but next thing you know, you're gonna watch The Vampire Diaries.
that was my fear that that's what that show was. So. Thankfully, it's not. Why is it on the CW? I don't get it. But
it's the only place they would have them.
I guess
because none of the big networks, you know, take that stuff on.
I mean, then you almost expect it's going to have like a cheap budget. That you know, some of the special effects suck, but some of them are really well done. Like overall, the special effects are good. The gore is good, and I don't know.
I don't think there's another network that could, you know, like hold it. You know, I think the
sci-fi
is best
maybe.
Yeah, but it's got it does have sci-fi. Yeah, it no yeah, it would, but it also has like it's got enough drama and stuff like that that I think people that normally watch CW shows would kind of get into. Like they put it on the air after Smallville for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think like that was which unfortunately I did watch because I'm a huge Superman.
That makes more
nerd.
Sense. I never associated Smallville with CW either, but
yeah.
Oh, that yeah, but that was a CW show. Yeah.
The CW factor that cracks me up about Supernatural is that every female that is a character on that show has to be attractive. Like that's I think it's
oh,
like
yeah.
a, just they, every
all
demon
of them
they
have to die.
Yeah, every demon that possesses a girl possesses a hot chick. It's just
well, you think about it. If you were a demon, you're not gonna go like I'm gonna get this butter troll like. Yeah, how you're not gonna get your job done because the whole point is they're trying to like manipulate people and stuff.
Yeah,
you're not gonna do that if you're like you know.
Oh,
I'm not. You know, I want to say like bad things.
Is that how
saying,
they
like,
wrote the show? It's nothing to do with CW's demographic.
What? Yeah. What? No.
We'll fund this show as long as there's no ugly people.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah. No way. Yep. No. Hey, your nose is crooked.
There might
throw
be
out.
Conspiracy.
No good.
Conspiracy.
What else? What's up?
Music-wise, I'm always looking for instrumental music to be able to get work done at the office, and I've gone back to video game music, and I can't remember if I knew about the band before, but my latest video game band is Entertainment System. They've got several albums actually on Spotify, and well, they do kind of do the more hard rock approach to video game common video game songs, especially the retro ones. It's not as metal as some of the others, and I'm able to focus and get more work done and enjoy some classic tunes from Mega Man and Castlevania and Contra and all those. So
like kind of mini bosses style?
Yeah.
Or like Neskimos?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it, yeah, another version of those.
Instead of like Vertex Guy or something like that.
Viking Guitar is another one.
Whoa, what?
There's a really heavy one out there. I think it's Viking Guitar, all one word, but you'll look that one up. That one's hardcore.
I do like Viking Metal. You may have sold me on something there.
And then video game I wanted to give a shout out to. I bought an id pack over a few Steam sales, and I know Ethan, you've been talking a lot about Rage lately, and it just got me clamoring for my old school id library. And I booted up Quake 1 and Quake 2 and played a couple hours of both the other day. And it's just funny just how much I love those games. And Quake was just such a kind of watershed moment for me discovering how powerful my computer was and wanting to upgrade it and working around Quake 1. And it's just funny how shitty it used to look compared to how easy it is to run now. And just I used to get really into the atmosphere of Quake 1, and I have fonder memories of Quake 2 because I really got into the multiplayer there, but I really want a true Quake 1 sequel. I don't feel we've ever really gotten that. So that as far as the Quake world, whatever that bizarre,
yeah,
hellish medieval setting was. So
what happened?
You want Trent Reznor.
Yeah. Dude, I've been listening to that soundtrack again. That is so good. So what atmospheric.
What was the transition between 1 and 2? I never really understood that. 1 was, you know, again, you had that medieval, then went to, like, the alien, like, cybernetic.
My assumption, and Josh, you might know this too, was that when screenshots of what became Quake 2 were leaked, people just started calling it that. They had a different name for it, but it just decided to run with the name after a certain point. Okay. Does that sound about right to anybody else?
I don't know, like, what the – I know a lot of the – I mean, I read the book. Oh, God. The Doom book. What's it called?
I haven't. Masters of Doom.
I think it's it. Yeah. I don't – like, they kind of stopped there at some point. I didn't get into the Quake 2 stuff. So that was a completely different atmosphere and stuff, though. Gameplay
is actually more similar than I gave it credit for back then.
Yeah.
When I quickly switched between those, I was like, oh, they do both feel like Quake. So
I think the controls are better in 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a significant.
Yeah, for sure.
But
man, Quake 1, you know, you can get, there's a mod for, there's a Quake 1 mod. And now, it's, of course, the name is escaping me, as it always does. But, that makes the graphics look like really, really good.
Yeah.
And it does all the bump mapping kind of stuff. It'll make it look like a brand new game.
I didn't mess with that, but researching it took me back to my Quake World days. That was kind of fun. I was like, ooh, I could start installing my own stuff. And I haven't played with mods in a long time. So, but
did you get into Quake 3 very much?
Not the mod scene. I moved to Unreal Tournament at that phase.
Mm.
But I did play a ton of Unreal Tournament mods, but not so much on Quake 3.
I did a lot of Rocket Arena on 3.
I played a lot of Quake 2 Weapons Factory, though.
Ooh, yeah.
So that was kind of a Team Fortress-y type of... Not Team Fortress, no. I mean, it had classes, but anyway. It had classes and had a badass grappling hook. That's all I remember.
If it wasn't for Quake and Quake 2, we wouldn't have had a lot of the mods that we end up having for Half-Life. Yep. Which a lot of those end up turning into like real commercials, you know, like Team Fortress 2. That was a Quake mod originally, Team Fortress.
That is an amazing timeline to think through, actually.
Yeah, just like here's some guys or whatever, and then now it's like this, you know, juggernaut. I mean, what a crazy lineage.
Yeah.
That, you know, Counter-Strike is, you know, kind of the same way, you know, like it's mod. So, but a lot of that stuff kind of originated on Quake.
Companies became major developers for...
Well, and the mod scene was kind of like what the indie scene is now, is that most, I mean, there was quite a bit of innovation going on in the mod scene, just with some of the stuff coming through. I mean, you're looking at the Team Fortress and stuff like that. So, I mean, that was the time to release games before you had to, you know, work for somebody that you didn't necessarily agree with, you know, their leadership or whatever. I mean, that was like the time to get your product out without having to jump through the hoops. You know, I kind of miss those days.
Unfortunately, I wasted all of my modding efforts and on the wrong boat. I uh, I was busy making custom tracks for Motocross Madness, and that never panned out.
I play a lot of Midtown Madness back in the day. That was like the first time I had an open world kind of driving.
But game. Looking back, it's like half of a game now. It's like it's.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
there are no people. Good. You do not get out of the car. It's like, it's like a quarter of Grand Theft Auto.
Man, Ethan, you got me thinking now. Like it's like the mod. I don't think I've ever heard people relate like the mod scene to the indie scene like that. That's so true though, because like nowadays every week we're looking at new indie stuff, and it's like, you know, 10 years ago, even, you know, we were every week I was checking out new mods, and that was and they were like complete. I mean, you know, like a game like Counter-Strike or something like that. It was like, hey, check out this new thing some dudes made.
Yeah.
And like, we played the crap out of that thing. And that's, you're right though. The outlet is different. Like I don't remember, you know, in like the early aughts or something like that, or late 90s, like there being a bunch of games that would come out that would be like free, you know, like indie downloadable titles. I mean, there was no downloadable games like in general, really. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of weird. The evolution of that, like where people have gone to as that outlet has kind of changed. That's so weird. Very interesting. Mr. McNeil, what have you been up to, man? What's in non-gaming
in your life? In my non-gaming news, I like to give a kind of more political government shout out to what's happening with the Stop Online Piracy Act, or SOPA, the fact that the White House even came out and said that they are not in support of that bill, which is great news that YouTube and all sorts of other outlets will be able to keep on putting out game content and doing what they're doing without it being, you know, falsely called, you know, copyrighted content. It's just like the wrong solution to the question of how to stop piracy. And I just hope that eventually we can all come to some kind of agreement on, you know, how to keep things more legit than they are now. Because, you know, piracy is bad, but it's so easy to do. But
I just hate how they've, like, used that word to basically build our campaign around. It's like, that calling it all piracy. And I was like, yes, piracy is bad, but, like, you're casting way too wide of a net.
Yeah, they're calling things piracy that aren't piracy and giving certain parties too much power.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing that I want to put out there. The second one is this past weekend, I went and saw Beauty and the Beast in 3D with my wife against my will. And I didn't really want to, but I gave in. And I mean, it was fine. I guess my issue with these 3D movies, sorry, I can't even interrupt you, but my issue with these 3D movies is like Disney's putting out a lot of remakes. They did The Lion King in 3D and now Beauty and the Beast, and I saw a trailer for Finding Nemo is going to be in 3D, and it seems like it's an easy way to get money. And
you kind of ruined my day.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but if people are voting with their dollars, you know, and actually going to see this stuff, then apparently that's what people want, so... I mean, I hate like making that argument, but because I don't like this stuff either. I just hope 3D dies at some point, because I want to be able to go see the new movies on the good screens in 2D without having like only one time slot or having to go to the crappy screen to see it. So yeah. I want to see it die too. But like, people are going because like people are just like, oh, it's the whatever's the new hotness. That's what I'll get. Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean, the movie wasn't bad. The Call of Duty. The movie wasn't bad. I mean, you put the 3D glasses on, and I mean, I hate sitting there with these glasses on the entire time. But I have to admit, there are moments where the 3D is kind of kicking in. You're kind of feeling it, and you're like, oh, that looks really good. Or I see, like, they actually put some real work into this. But I guess what makes me not like it even more is the fact that it's a movie I've already seen. It's an old movie. Sure, it's a classic, but now you've put it in the 3D, and I'd rather, if I had to sit through a 3D movie, you know, I'd rather it be like an Avatar or something new where I haven't seen it, even though Avatar is like a retelling of a story that has already been told so many times, just with blue aliens. But I kind of just want something fresher than a Disney movie that most people, I guess our own age, own already or have seen before.
Yeah.
And, well,
there's an argument also to be made, though, for like this being a way to get kids in front of some of these classic movies that are too young to have seen them when they came out. And it what's the hook to do? If you just like, if they just straight put these in the theater again, you know, that wouldn't work. Like, so here's a hook to, it's about making some money, but some of these are, these are some classics, you know? I mean, Disney put out some really good movies that we all saw when we were kids.
Yeah.
I didn't.
And that's what's wrong with you today.
Yeah.
Magic in your life.
Rambo. I watch Rambo. I don't need magic. I got machine guns and grenades and anger.
They put Rambo out in 3D.
You could I would be there in a second. Are you kidding me?
Commando.
Flying at you.
Do it. Auburn wants to see that movie. I really don't want to, but I'm going to have to because I'm a good husband. I'm an okay husband. I'm not good.
So I really wish I wasn't looking at some notes right now that you put down, Aaron. Go ahead and tell us about your third thing here.
My third thing is another, I guess, family, husband-wife activity, the Golden Globes.
See, Aaron's a good
person. I do think it's a guilty pleasure. I mean, I probably would have done it even without her. I enjoy movies and TV, and so I like to see certain things win. I mean, when you've got nominees like Breaking Bad and all these other shows that I don't watch. Homeland, I think, unfortunately, I haven't gotten into that yet. But I like to know, you know, what does, I guess, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association think is good?
You really want to know that?
I mean, I really don't want to know, but I'm curious what they're going to say versus what my opinion is. And so there are a lot of wins that went out Sunday night that were not what I wanted them to be, but they were mostly movies I didn't watch. There's like movies like The Artist, which actually looks like it could be interesting, you know, like a silent black and white film about, I guess, old era couple or something. I don't really know what it's about. I know there's a dog and they train the dog to do tricks.
I'm in. Yeah.
There's a dog doing tricks, so I'm like, hey, that's cool. It's in black and white, so
like Beethoven.
Can the dog talk?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's a silent film, so I'm sure if the dog, you know, pretends to bark a few times, the caption shows up.
Does a middle-aged man turn into the dog at any point during the movie?
Maybe. I'll watch it, and the next time I'm on a podcast, I'll update, or I'll lie. You know, I'll just say whatever I want.
That's the Ethan way.
Yeah. You're learning.
Be like Etmo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, I enjoy Breaking Bad, and that didn't win anything, and so it was kind of a disappointing night. But I like Ricky Gervais. He hosted again, I think, for the third time.
Yeah,
but
it's the third time he's on it.
It wasn't as edgy as
I'm kind of disappointed by that. Yeah. Like, every year he's hosted, they'd be like, he's not going to be invited back. And they invite him back.
Yeah, I mean, last year
they want to invite him back.
He was pretty edgy just because, you know, he was saying stuff that people weren't expecting him to say, and he insulted Johnny Depp and whatever that movie was called that I watched it and thought wasn't all that great anyway.
You're talking about the Rum Diaries?
No, the Angelina Jolie one.
Oh, The Tourist.
Yeah, The Tourist. Yeah, it was nominated in a category as, like, best comedy or musical, and then I watched it, and I'm like, this is not a comedy nor musical, and...
I actually kind of enjoyed that one. I thought it was fun.
It was all right, but...
But I didn't go into it thinking it was going to be a comedy or musical, so I'd be disappointed when there's no singing.
Johnny Depp didn't sing it at all, and I was just upset. But, yeah, Ricky Gervais did a decent job, but it's just kind of weird that they told him as being, you know, like, super offensive, you know, host from, you know, British host, and the host's kind of... just disappears as the night goes on. He shows up every now and then, maybe says one funny thing, and it's more or less about, you know, the nominees, the awards themselves, and so they lure you in with Ricky, and then they take him away.
I hate award shows because I always feel so embarrassed for the people that are giving their acceptance speech, because it's always so bad. It's so awkward.
It's rare to have a good acceptance speech, and sometimes they just don't have a lot of time, or the person's really old, and so you kind of feel awkward, like they won't shut up. But the person is well received by most, you know, people in America or around the world. You know? So it's a very awkward time when someone's like, you could be happy they won, but on the other hand, you know, get off the stage, please. Enough of you.
Do they still play the music when somebody talks too long?
Oh, definitely. They still play that music, and the reaction is sometimes the funniest part, whether or not they ignore it or they're like, oh, you know, I'm not done yet.
Yeah. Wait, I forgot the people I want to thank. Let me get this piece of paper out of my bra. So, yeah, it's so awkward. Yeah, the Golden Globes is the VGAs of the TV industry. So,
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, but I'm glad you watched it and told me about it so I don't have to.
Yeah, you don't need to watch it. I mean, we can get a nice setup.
Yeah, I got what I needed. So.
Yeah, yes, thank you for that.
Problem.
All right, so let's go on to mine here. I watched something much more exciting than Beauty and the Beast or the Golden Globes this weekend, and that was Ironclad with the with James Purefoy and Paul Giamatti and that big Viking guy from the 13th Warrior. This you can see this on Netflix right now. This movie is just it's a medieval bloodbath. It has the character development of like Season of the Witch, which if you didn't see that was the Nicolas Cage movie where yeah. He didn't even fake in a British accent, and then but it's like they're actually it's about King John the whatever and yeah, like I didn't even care, like at some point I was like, okay, whatever, the guy, the dude that signed the Magna Carta.
Okay,
so it's about that. What happened right after the Magna Carta? Shut up. Wasn't that a turn-based strategy RPG game?
Cool.
By Atlas or something.
Yeah,
Magma.
Magma. The Magma Carta. That's it. And so it's like well, this is what happened after he signed the Magna Carta, and then so some bunch of he basically like reneges and he goes like back on his, you know, he goes like, all right, I'm gonna get a bunch of these Danish dudes to come and take back, to kill all the people that signed this thing. I'm not giving away a whole lot because this is like,
it's
happens right at the beginning. So it doesn't. It's not about the plot though, because they're like again, there's like it's so predictable. Like the whole movie, you got it figured out in the first couple of minutes. You know exactly how it's all gonna play out, and that's okay
because it's based on history.
I don't know. This shit didn't happen, did it?
What?
No way.
The Magna Carta happened.
No, it's like this is what happened afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I have no idea. Maybe some of this happened, and like maybe there's like a rough outline that would match up or something like that. But I'm pretty sure Paul Giamatti wasn't run the show in England over there.
I think he did.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard for me to take him seriously too, and he's like all angry and yelling and stuff, and I'm like, he's just so like little and pudgy and cute, like and funny. This is not John of England. So. But oh my God, like the action and stuff is awesome. It's sometimes I just want to watch a movie where people just get hacked up with swords. You know, you guys get this too, right?
Sometimes, yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. This will give you your fix. You know, that kind of, it's like, you know, like the 13th Warrior or like, well, I don't know, like Braveheart, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, it is so, there are some of the goriest death scenes. I mean, they get graphic. It's like where in most movies, like, oh, the guy's swinging the sword, cut away to just the guy who's swinging and not the dude getting chopped up. Nope. This one zooms right in on the wound. It's like, boom, there it is. He's got cleaved in half.
Epic,
like,
yeah. Wounds.
Yeah, there was a lot of fist pumping going on.
Oh,
by me, not the characters.
I can get into this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
good,
it's
good name also for the movie based on how you describe it. Just
yeah,
just,
yeah.
You'll run the movie.
Yeah, oh, sorry, yeah. So it's not a good movie. I'm not saying it's a good movie, but I'm saying you should watch it if you like manly films.
This and is wounds.
And wounds. Yeah. If you like open gashes. Of this movie.
Let's see if I can like that on Facebook right now. Wounds. Continue.
Bruises and cuts.
So yeah, so that was fantastic. And okay, so last night, I have these YouTube, like, I don't know what do you call a tangent of mouse clicks? Like basically when you intend to go in one direction and then you just follow this trail of other random things. It happens on YouTube, you know, when it like
surfing,
God damn you, you're an asshole. You know, it's a thing. There's got to be, we need to come up with a name for this thing, because this is something that everyone does. But I happen to do it usually about once a week. And it usually takes up a couple hours of my time. I could be doing something else, like writing. And so I'm like, I follow some video. I think it started with a Prometheus trailer or something like that. And then, like, I keep clicking the little recommended videos until I got to the epic sax guy.
You got to that from Prometheus?
Yeah. Yep.
How?
Sure did. I don't know. I mean, it was less than 7 clicks, I bet.
Wait, did you just apply the Kevin Bacon rule to surfing?
Kevin Bacon.
So...
Seven clicks away.
Clicks to epic sax guy. Yeah. So like I end up like putting on like the 10-hour version that somebody made. You know, you're right. And then I kinda had some writer's block, so I thought like maybe I need to change this up. So I clicked on remixes of Epic Sax Guy.
Yeah.
And like there's the 8-bit version, and then here's like people's covers, like live covers of people playing like a real like it's inner sax.
Less than 7 clicks to the dubstep remix of Epic Sax Man.
9 clicks. That was like the second one after I did that was like one of the first ones. And then it just kinda like comes around to all the way back around to what I'd never seen, which was the original video. Was it Moldova or something like that? The band, the group that comes from, the Epic Sax Guy clip. So I actually heard there's a full song. Did you guys know that?
No.
So, there's a song.
Yeah, that he plays in those videos?
Yeah, it's like this band performed on, I don't know if they won, but they performed on the Eurovision, like yearly contest thing BBC puts on TV. It's like Battle of the Bands on broadcast TV, but we don't get that stuff here. So, it's like a song, and this guy is one of the performers and band members, and he's dancing. And all of a sudden, he pulls out that sax and he does his little thing, and then he slinks into
the background. Not a little thing.
Well, yeah, right.
It's epic.
I feel like I finally achieved as an achievement. I got my internet chivo last night by watching that finally. So and then also I want to point out to earlier this evening, I'm sitting in the office and Kylie is in here with me, and I put on the loop, the Epic Sax Guy loop, and it had been playing for I think it ended up being about 12 minutes, and she gets up, she's going to leave the room, and I look at her and she doesn't even like react, and I go, what's wrong with you? You didn't bitch about this once. And she goes, oh, I didn't even realize this looping. She's like, I was kind of like getting in the groove there along with it. It was kind of catchy. It's like, oh, like there's something broken. She didn't react negatively to that. So, okay. Anyways, and then something terrible happened. I decided on a whim. I was like, you know what? I'm going to beat Super Mario Brothers tonight. And so my Nintendo isn't working right now. I can't get it to actually read a game. Mm-hmm. And my pens are fine. I'm not sure what's up with it, but I got the Wii out, which I've got the virtual console version of it, and I have my little NES gamepad adapter to GameCube adapter. So I'm playing on the original controller. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, because I'm always bitching about crappy D-pads and stuff. That's my excuse. This one's in perfect condition. No excuse. I could not get past the fifth world. I continued, I think, 3 times, and I just would – it would be stupid mistakes, and then I would just get frustrated and, like, continue to just – I'd go faster every time I died, and it was just kind of compounding the problem. And I finally quit. Oh, I still haven't beat Super Mario Brothers. I don't have it. I don't have what it takes.
Oh, we need to – this needs to be documented.
I need help.
I think we just need to, we need to motivate you and give you some positive reassurance that you can do it, because you need to do this.
I know. It's hard. It's a hard ass game, and it's like the reflexes required. It's like so precise. The controls are perfect. However, my thumbs don't always do exactly what I want them to when I need them to do it.
Yeah.
True.
You've got funny thumbs. I mean, I don't want to say anything. I know it's kind of a bad place to say here on the podcast to everybody listening, but your thumbs, I looked at them and I thought when I first met you, that guy is probably horrible at Super Mario Brothers. That's the first thing I thought. I don't know.
Look at those thumbs.
You had me pegged from day one, Ethan.
That's why I prefer is using a mouse.
No, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Because like my whole hand kind of does the work. Like I use it kind of my upper arm.
We will get you over this hurdle in 2012, Josh Lee.
Okay. I would really appreciate a little bit of help because I'm kind of at the point where I really want to do it, but I just feel so defeated. Like this, every time I've tried, I've just failed harder and harder.
Worst case scenario, it gets to be October, November, and we're getting ready for the next A Call to Gamers 24-hour marathon, and we'll just make you play that the first hour, and you can't be on television until you finish the game.
Oh, my God. Well, you won't see me. Oh, shit. And it can't be that All-Stars version either. I want, original.
No. Yeah.
Of course not.
Okay, so... Unless what?
I said at least we have goals this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was my New Year's resolution. So I have to do it. Okay, so that was fun. Thanks, guys. That was for joining me on our first ever Super Gaming Best Friends.
It was thrilling.
Books. You're welcome.
And Aaron, welcome. Thanks for coming on your first ever podcast.
Yeah, it was fun.
Awesome. Was it good for you?
It was so good.
Was it as good for you as it was for Ethan?
Yeah.
Wait, no, you get no. It's Aaron has to answer that. It wasn't.
It was.
I'm Ethan.
But he's... No. God damn it. You ingrate. All right. On that note, thanks for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks for another one of these. And please leave us some feedback. You can hit us up on Twitter at Horrible Shows. So you can leave us that review on iTunes, which would be awesome. Or you can email us at ask@horriblenight.com. We always like to hear from the community. So on behalf of Ethan, Aaron, and Justin, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Super.